So Jude chapter number 1, we come tonight to verse number 21. We have been building and we have been praying in the changeover here. Remember, Jude has given us all the warnings for the end time as to how the church is going to be infiltrated, even invaded by the ungodly. And they're going to bring in their false doctrine, and multitudes will be deceived thereby. But then he comes to the church itself, and he says, "But ye." Here's the changeover. "But ye." It's like we're in the middle of a storm, seemingly, being bombarded with hail and wind, and then all of a sudden the sun comes out. And Jude says, "But ye." Beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Marvelous thought. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Oft times we forget that it is our responsibility to stir up ourselves. Now, we don't. Oft times we forget that we have a responsibility in this thing. We need to come alive, not just sit around and mope and be religious, amen, mundane, so to speak, but rather stir up yourself. You ought to stir up yourself when you go to church. Yeah. That's what Isaiah said, and none would stir up themselves. Nobody wanted to stir up themselves to worship the Lord and enjoy God. We ought to learn to do that. Baptists have forgotten that. Listen, we taught that other outfit how to do it. Now they've taken it to the extreme and gone the wrong way with it. We ought to come back with the real thing and enjoy God. Stir up yourselves, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And now tonight, we come to this next word. And I'm adding ing to the word keep here. So we're keep, he said, yourselves in the love of God. It is our responsibility to keep ourselves in the love of God. Now, let me quickly give you the reality of this thing so you don't run off the deep end in the wrong way. Keeping ourselves, the word here is the word terio, terio. And it literally means to keep an eye on. It's not like putting a guard over it, and it's not like you're going to lose it and it's going to escape from you, but you have a responsibility to keep an eye on the love of God. Yes. Let me do it. Where's our switchman back there? You'll do good. Just turn all the lights off except maybe right here where I am for just a moment. Can you do that? There you go. That's fine. All right. Now, just look at the circumstance we're in right here. Now, you folks are out there in the overflow, right? Right. You're in the overflow, but I'm in the light. Now, I could well get down and walk back there where you are. But as I do, that light gets dimmer in my presence. And I am no longer in the reality of the fullness of that light. But I can willingly walk back into that light. Are you getting a hold of this? And stay there. I like to think of it like this. The Apostle John at the Last Supper is laying on Jesus' breast, on his bosom. All the other disciples are present around the table. He loves them all, right? He's already told us that. He loves every one of them to the very end. But oft times, especially in the book of John, the Scripture speaks of the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, you and I can argue the reality of this, but the fact is, the Scripture says it. I know that He loved them all. You know that He loved them all. You know that He loves us. But John made himself more available. Absolutely.
to the love of Christ. Did you get a hold of that? Because here's the truth of this whole text. Just staying where you can be loved. Be where you can be reached. Be where you can be touched by the love of God. Not that God couldn't reach out there and touch you. And not that He doesn't reach into the darkness and touch us. But that we stay close in so we can be in the favor at all times. I left home, joined Uncle Sam's Navy. My daddy didn't love me any less because I was gone. But there were three boys that sat around the table yet. Three boys in the house. And love was shown to them on a consistent basis where it could only be shown to me when I was present. You're about to get a hold of this. I can see some of you just about to catch on. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Stay where? An old preacher friend of mine used to say, get under the spout where the glory runs out. And when you get under the spout where the glory runs out, you're beginning to receive things that everyone else is not necessarily getting, at least not in the same dose. The love of God, and what love it is. This, by the way, is the word agape. Agape is the love of God. It is the overpowering, overwhelming love of God. Unimpaired, never helped, never increases, or never diminishes by our influence upon Him. In other words, you cannot influence God to love you one iota more than He does. Now let me go a step further. You can neither influence Him to love you any less than He does. Listen to what I said to you. In what I'm saying, then, God's love is a consistent, ever-present reality. I can experience the depth of that love only when I keep myself close enough to where I can feel the emanating presence of God in my life. Many of us would not like to be as John was. Now we'll get religious every once in a while and say that we would, but in reality, we really wouldn't want to pay the price that John paid to be loved as he was. And again, not that the other disciples were not loved, but that he was there where he could be loved in such a manner that he is known as the disciple that our Lord loved. Marvelous, isn't it? Jesus said, keep yourself in the love of God as well. He said, continue ye in my love. How do we do that? That's in John chapter 15, verse 9. How do we do that? How do we continue in His love? Why don't you turn over there just a moment? Turn our lights back on. Why don't you turn over there just a moment and let's kind of look at this for just a second. John 15, 9. Actually, we'll deal with verse 10 too. But when you get there, kind of say or something. All right, so we're there. Some of us are at least. Now, when He says continue in my love, how does He say we do that? He said He continued in the Father's love, right? Now He says we can continue in His love, but He gives us a stipulation. What is it? Keeping His commandments. Now all of a sudden somebody says, well, we know we can't keep the Ten Commandments. Jesus didn't give us Ten Commandments. Jesus gave us two commandments, didn't He? And those two commandments are love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, all of thy mind, all of thy soul, and all of thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said that encompasses all of the law. It's all put together right there. If I'm going to keep myself in the love of Christ, then I'm going to have to love him enough to do what he told me to do. It's just that simple. We're going to get practical now for just a moment. How many of you have had more than one child? Anyone? Okay. All right. You're going to be my example to prove my point tonight. How many of you would look at me tonight and say, Brother Larry, there was no difference whatsoever in my children? Anybody brave enough to say that? Ginger and I had a boy and a girl. I promise you there's some difference. Let me ask you this question as well. Since you have come this far with me, will you go enough down the road to admit the truth that you had a favorite? Now, Brother Larry, not me. We're not being religious right now. We're being truthful. Why, sure you did. Now just go ahead and be honest. If we'll stay honest, this thing will keep going and the Holy Ghost will bless this thing. We'll get out of here tonight rejoicing in the good things of God. So we did, didn't we? Yeah, we did. Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm not talking to the point to where we put one out of the will and add everything to this one's part. That's not what I'm talking about. But there's just one of them somewhere in the whole lot of that outfit that for some reason or the other, they just stayed in close. And those that stayed in close, they were just our favorites. That's all there is to it. Might as well admit it, they were favorites. Could that be so spiritually? Is that so spiritually? According to what the Word of God says, if we just stay in close and do what the Lord would have us to do, then we continue in His love. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Just deal with this thing of staying where you can be loved, where you can be touched of the Holy Ghost from time to time. I don't know about you, but I enjoy going to church and just feeling the touch of the Holy Ghost, feeling the tug of the Spirit of God every once in a while, and just knowing that He is still present in power and He manifests Himself in our presence from time to time. As a matter of fact, I don't want to go to church if He doesn't do that. We all need that kind of relationship with the Lord. A closeness. The Apostle Paul uses the analogy of husband and wife to give us the relationship between Christ and His church. And he talks about the obedience and he talks about the love. That Christ loves the church so much so that He gave Himself for it. He was so much so overwhelmed by the gift of God, His Father, to him of the church that he fell in love. Hopefully we're not so old that we can't remember the emotion of love. If you can love without emotion, you can live without breathing. Love is emotion. From stem to stern, love is emotion. It may have knowledge mixed with it. It may have all these other things. But I'm telling you, love is emotion. It stirs every emotion in you. Ginger and I were talking the other night. We had a little spat. You and Sherry never had that, but we had a little spat from time to time. And this is back when we were courting. We'd gone to a ball game and somehow wound up on the same bus coming back. And we were sitting with each other in the seed. Well, we caught a dark spot, and I just reached over and got me a little bit of sugar. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth before God Almighty. I'm not talking about butterflies. I'm talking about big eagles. My toes, chills went up my spine. I'd kissed her before, but I'm going to promise you before God, I can, to this very hour, I can remember what that done to me. Son, that sealed the deal right there. And lo and behold, same thing happened to her. What? Something magic about that, wasn't there? Huh? I'm telling you. Now, if you're listening to me, you're about to get a hold of what I have to say, and we're going to be out of here and gone in a few minutes. The presence of God, the presence of His love among us ought to excite our emotions. Now, you're going to hear this religious outfit say, well, it's all emotion. Well, I'd like for them to get a little motion, let alone emotion. God's little children will get emotional when the love of God kind of flows down the pike and comes to your little hiding place. God Almighty begins to finger around your heart and you begin to get emotional because something heavenly is taking place inside you. It's not just a touch outside. It's a touch inside. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I don't know about you, but I love to be loved. 72 years old, I still love to be loved. I even like for this religious outfit to woke up at once and say, Brother Larry, I love you. No, they're lying, but that's still, you know, it's good to hear. Just good to hear it once in a while. I'm not sure Ginger's telling the truth all the time when she says it, but it's good to hear. I walk by my darling mother, so help me before God Almighty. I've been outside for a few moments. I'll come back through, walk by where she is, and she'll say, I love you. 90% of the time, she don't know who I am. But she'll say, I love you. I get up early in the morning, get alone with God. Right there at that breakfast bar, the Holy Ghost will sneak up next to me. He said, I got a little word for you. Got a little word for you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. Every page, it rings out, I love you. It's not easy. Necessarily, from time to time, to keep yourself in the love of God. All kind of distractions come along. Sometimes your mind is turned from the light. Have you ever felt that coolness? Has your mate ever done this to you? That's what we do to him. We just kind of turn a cold shoulder from time to time. Can I go a bit further tonight and tell you that there is an intimacy between the church, the believer, you and I, and the good Holy Ghost that cannot be compared to the intimacy between husband and wife? When we find ourselves in that circumstance, you just watch out. You watch out. Fruit is going to come from that kind of fellowship. Births come from intimacy between husband and wife. Fruit is born because of the intimacy between the church and the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory. Hallelujah. Keep yourself in the love of God. Is it laborious to do so? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It may cost you, but it's well worth everything it'll cost you. Amen. Just to have that little touch. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Let me do this before I close tonight. Let me translate that in the vernacular of our modern day. Keep yourself lovable. Keep yourself lovable. I have often referred to this. It made such an impression on me, and my darling wife has carried out the same thing. But when my father-in-law, when it was time for him to come home from work, if I happened to be there, I would notice as Ginger's mother would go and spruce up herself. She'd comb her hair, put on her makeup, put on some decent clothes. If she'd been out back in the garden working, she'd take a bath, she'd clean up. And the reason she did that is because her husband was coming home. Now, she did that, as far as I know, as long as she was able, every day of her life. And not every time. As a matter of fact, I never saw him come in and take her in his arms and say, "I love you." Never. But she never failed to make herself lovable. You see, her love was visible whether his was or not. I don't know about you, but I don't know that I could live in that kind of circumstance. I want to be told that I'm loved once in a while. And I want to be able to say, "I love you." I want to experience that from time to time. Not just words, but I want to experience it. And I want to tell you without apology, I want to experience the love of God. My soul. When I come to the house of God, I want it on my lips and in my heart, "I love you." And I want to hear from another world, "I love you. I love you." That's why I think so often that we just really don't have the foggiest idea of who God is in this generation. If we did, we'd present ourselves more so to God than we do. We go to church like we're going to a stinking ball game. Hello? Yeah. We go to church with the same kind of attitude as we go shopping. We don't stir up ourselves to go to the house of God. We don't prepare ourselves physically or mentally, let alone spiritually, to go to the house of God. We just go, and if something happens, fine. If it don't, fine. You've been to church. What you need to go is with this intent in mind. I'm going to church to make something happen. I'm going to church to do something when it comes to worship.
Yes, sir.
Not just sit there and be passive, but be active in this thing.
Yes.
You'll never find the church as a passive organism in your Bible. It's always an active organism. And when the church met, they met to worship God, not just to go to church. And there's different thinking going on. I'm going to meet with the Lord God Almighty, and I'm going to look like how to look when I get there. Hello?
Yeah.
Remember what I said about my mother-in-law? She loved her husband enough to look like she loved him.
Amen.
When he showed up. I'm not talking about just once in a while, am I, sweetheart? No, sir. Every day of her life, and every time we meet with God, we ought to meet with this thought in mind. I'm going to meet with the God of the universe. Now, if you're going to church to meet with no one, then come however you want to. But if you're going to meet with God, you ought to act like you're going to meet with God. You ought to look like you're going to go meet with God. And you ought to have the right frame of mind. I'm going to meet with God. I tell you what, if we do that, you talk about a turnaround, a change in this church and in this community. If we just make up our mind, I'm going to church to worship God. I'm going to church to let God know I love Him. And I'm going to church to hear Him say, "I love you." Keep yourself in the love of God.
It's the most sacred of all divine blessings to know that you're loved of God. Now remember, we like for folks to love us, but I'm so glad Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Thank you, Brother Gary. But oh, how much so? How much so? We need to feel the touch of God and know the love of God. Keep yourself in the light. Keep yourself where you can be loved. Father, I'm grateful tonight for your tender mercies. And from my very heart, I thank you for loving me. If we really took stock of ourselves, we'd have to say there's very little lovable about us. But oh God, I sure love you. And I'm glad you love me, and I'm glad you've shown that. And I'm grateful tonight to be a recipient of the love of God. Now, Lord, help me to stay in the limelight of that love. Help all of us to desire that very place. And Lord, in this new year, should you spare us, help us, as our pastor's been teaching us and preaching to us, help us to fall in love with you and to keep ourselves where we can be loved and lovable. In Jesus' name.